In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus is risen from the dead and has appeared even unto Peter. The Lord Jesus is risen from the dead and has made himself known to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, one whose name is given to us, Cleopas, the other theorized by many to be St. Peter, and is made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Lord Jesus is risen from the dead and has shown himself in the upper room, breathing out the Holy Spirit, declaring peace by virtue of his wounds, and bestowing the Spirit and ordaining the apostles that they should go forth and proclaim forgiveness by virtue of those same wounds. The Lord Jesus is risen from the dead and has shown those same wounds to Thomas, whom he has invited to probe those wounds. Put your finger into my hands and your hand into my side and see that it is I myself, he says. The Lord Jesus is risen, and he has given them the new commandment. He has ordained them to what is called indeed the apostolic ministry, that they should go forth and proclaim the forgiveness of sins into all the world by virtue of the death and resurrection of Jesus, that they should go and proclaim into all the world reconciliation with God by virtue of those wounds. And yet, they revert back to the old way of life. This isn't some allegory where Peter says, I'm going to go fishing, and he's going to go out and be a fisher of men, which Jesus has told him he is to be, and which he has been ordained and commissioned now to be in the resurrection. This is going back to the old way of life. This is getting out on the boat, casting the nets all night long, and trying to make a catch of fish. The Lord Jesus is risen from the dead, and Peter and a good number of the apostles act like it has nothing to do with them at all, like there is no change that this has warranted, that this has affected in them at all. Does that sound familiar? We come for the Easter vigil, we come for the sunrise service, we come for the chief divine service of Easter morning, and we are overjoyed by the ceremony, we are overjoyed with the music, we are overjoyed with the proclamation that Jesus is risen. And then we go home and fall back into the same old habits. Cast out the leaven of hypocrisy and malice, St. Paul told us in the epistle on Sunday, that we may celebrate the feast with sincerity and truth. And yet, how much gossiping was held around the table Sunday afternoon or Sunday night? Who hasn't grown angry or irritated with a coworker already yet this week, and it's only Wednesday? Who hasn't lost their temper with their children or their spouse? Who hasn't struggled with doubts already Sunday when they went home? We like to fool ourselves and think that somehow we know better and we are better than the apostles. Certainly we can say that we know better because we are midgets standing on the shoulders of giants. We know the end of the story. We have the benefit of their writings and of their preaching. We have advantages they didn't, to be sure. But we are not better than them. We are not somehow smarter than them. We struggle with the same sins that they struggled with doubt and unbelief, with hatred and jealousy and anger and wrath and the whole lot. And yet the fact remains, Jesus is risen from the dead and calls us forth to new life. Calls us forth to the forgiveness of our sins. And to the fact that this now changes fundamentally who we are. What we are. We are no longer strangers at enmity with one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, united not by the blood of ancestry, but by a blood that is thicker than ancestry, by the water that is thicker than blood. The blood of Jesus poured out and washed upon us in holy baptism. We are called to deal with one another in love and in the forgiveness of sins, to put the best construction on everything. For love does indeed cover a multitude of sins. Even as the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God for us does indeed cover every single one of our sins. And so there they are, out in the boat, fishing like nothing has changed. And what happens? Absolutely nothing. They work all night long. They labor. They work. They sweat. And they have absolutely nothing to show for it. Remember that when you try to take things into your own hands. When you think that if I do things this way or that way, if things are done according to my will, then everything will be perfect. No, they won't. But when Jesus comes, when Jesus meets them on the shore and tells them, let down the net on the right-hand side of the boat, then they have a catch so large, and yet the nets do not break. Then their efforts are successful. Because it's not their efforts, but it is the grace and the mercy of Jesus. So if you're wondering how you're going to pay your bills, send your kids to school, or anything and everything else that you struggle with, wonder about, and how you're going to deal, the Lord Jesus does indeed provide for you. He provides what you need. He provides what you don't have. And He provides what you could never come up with on your own. And so it is that the Lord Jesus meets them on the shore. But in all our Lord's resurrection appearances, you would think He would be right to be angry with these people for their doubt, for their unbelief, for their fleeing Him in the hour of His passion, being absent at the cross, for Peter's denials in the courtyard of the high priest. And yet, when the Lord Jesus comes and meets them every time, it is not with anger, it is not with wrath, it is not with condemnation, but it is with peace. It's with the forgiveness of sins. It's with provision of what they cannot provide for themselves. And so it is even for us that when we fail, when we fall, when we in no way, shape, or form measure up, when we are more often like the wife of Lot, turning back and looking back on the old way of life that we are giving up and looking on it with affection and with wistful thoughts, the Lord Jesus does not strike us down, though He would be right to do so. Rather, He shows us His hands, His feet, and His side. He spreads a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Have you ever noticed that, in that all the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus, He is always eating with them? The Lord Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. Even in the resurrection, the Lord Jesus receives sinners and eats with them, bestowing peace by showing His wounds and sharing the table with them. It's highly explicit, as Pastor Stuckwish reminded us on Monday evening in the Emmaus account, because it is in the breaking of the bread where he is made known. But these other accounts are no less Eucharistic, though maybe not as explicit as Emmaus. But the risen Lord Jesus meets his sinful people and receives them in love, in mercy, and in the forgiveness of sins, and eats with them. He prepares the table, and he gladdens their hearts. And so he does for you, as he calls you this day from the wearisome labor with which you are engaged day in and day out throughout the week. And he says, "Children, come to my table." And you find the feast spread out and prepared for you. You've not labored for this food. Jesus has, laboring in blood, sweat, and tears upon the cross, that you may recline and eat in peace and joy. So it is that this is also the second miraculous catch of fish which our Lord grants. And the circumstances are very much the same as the first and now in this time. But the first time, after they've labored all night and they catch nothing, Jesus says, "Let down the nets again." And they catch a catch so large that the boats begin to sink, the nets begin to tear, and they have to separate out the good fish from the bad fish. Now, there are no bad fish, only good, large, pleasant fish. 153 of them, St. John says, because he was right there sorting and counting. And no boats sink, and no nets tear. So it is to live in the church in this life. In this life, where we struggle, in this life where we suffer, yes, the church of God is mixed in with hypocrites and unbelievers who do not believe the word, who do not believe the same as we do, who mock us, who ridicule us even from within the church for clinging to the word of God. And it seems that the church suffers and takes on water and is sinking as the nets break. But when the risen Lord Jesus comes again in glory, all of his elect shall be gathered. Not one who needs to be there shall be missing. Not one whom he has appointed to be there shall be missing. And there will be no damage. There will be no suffering, no boats sinking, no nets tearing. For all will be gathered on the last day according to his voice, according to his word, according to his promise, in perfect peace and security, even as he calls you now to this moment to his table, where he has prepared the table for you, that you may come and eat and rejoice. For the Lord is risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.